welcome to Open Mic here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're talking with Moorhead City Council member Jan Bishop. Jan, thanks so much for joining us on Open Mic.
Good morning, Leanne, and thank you for the opportunity.
The City Council had a meeting on Tuesday. They postponed their usual Monday meeting over to Tuesday afternoon and had quite a few things on the agenda this week, so we're going to chit-chat a little bit about the things that are happening here in the city. The city of Moorhead is kind of in rescue and recovery mode right now after we had some high water on Sunday night. I live in the floodplain, so here in the city, so I saw firsthand how scary it can be. And I know that you're a longtime Moorhead resident, so you've seen it flood here before, but tell me your thoughts about what happened on Sunday night.
I was born and raised in Moorhead, and my dad had a furniture store where the conference center is now. In my teens, I have seen water flood as high as my chest. Now, I'm not real tall, but that's pretty deep water.
That is deep water.
Over the years, they put in a dike, the berm that's over across 60 and 32. That has helped. But the thing I think that's going to help the most that we have done lately is a project that April Haight has just finished with the Triplet Creek. Sometime in the 60s, early 60s, the Corps of Engineers came in here and they straightened the creek out, which was the absolute worst thing that they could do because the water was very sluggish moving through there all the time, except when it was flooding. But April has just finished a project where they have put obstacles in there that will make the creek curve again like a snake eventually. And I think it will help move the silt and stuff that settles in there that has caused it to clog so much. It will help wash it away in floods like this. So I think the flooding this time was not as bad. I'm sorry I can't give you a firsthand experience because I wasn't out in it. Reports of damage has been a whole lot less than what it has in past times when the creek has flooded. So I don't know if the water was lighter this time or if her success with the project she's just finished with the creek has been a true success and has helped control that.
Yeah. I know there's been a lot of flood mitigation projects that have been in the works since, I guess, 2010 when it flooded. One of the things that I saw as I was evacuating my neighborhood was a manhole cover that was being pushed up by the water. The storm drain system here is just easily overwhelmed. Tell me a little bit about what we're looking into to take care of that problem.
Well, the city, in conjunction with Moorhead Utility Plant Board, has started looking into this because many of those storm sewer pipes were laid 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago, and they're just too small. We've had so much growth and that we've expanded into areas that weren't there before. And so we have been mapping what is there. I'm not sure exactly where this project is, but we will be looking for grants and things to help do the project because it will take many, many years to finish this project. This is a long-term project. Moorhead Utility Plant Board will help us because they've got the equipment and the personnel to do what needs to be done, but we are working on doing something with those storm sewers because we're well aware that they're inadequate at this time.
Right. You always talk about cities that are growing and what a good thing it is, but sometimes, unfortunately, it overwhelms the infrastructure, and we have to mitigate that as we go along.
Well, that's exactly what has happened with Moorhead Utility Plant Board is going through an expansion right now where we are almost at maximum capacity at the water plant. So they're going to have to build a new water plant. And also they're going to have to put sewers from the industrial park on 801. They're totally inadequate. They will handle what's out there now. But if we want to get a big corporation in here, there's a lot that the industrial park is affecting the whole city on, because they have to have adequate sewage out there, adequate water. And so part of the rate increase that Morehead Utility Plant Board has just passed has to do with increasing especially the sewer lines out to the industrial park on 801, and it also goes to the new water plant that will be built down on Cave Run Lake.
Right. Now, the city, the industrial park out on 801 is in Rowan County, but it's not part of the city.
No.
But we still have to service that area because of the way the lines run.
When they founded Morehead Utility Plant Board, we're very forward thinking, because it is a city, it's under the city's umbrella, but they're kind of independent, and so they have taken the ball and run with it, and they have put water and sewer into almost every house in this county. Now, I'm not sure that every house, I think every house probably in the county, or a large percentage of them, has water, but not every place has sewer. But they are extending the lines, you know, to even the remotest section of the county, and it's taken a long time and a lot of money to do this, but it's really helps the whole county. You know, Morehead is part of the county. Sometimes people forget. They think that we're a separate entity, but we're not. We're part of the county. And the better the county does, the better Morehead does, and vice versa.
Absolutely. There were a couple people who talked a little bit about some events that are coming up. Tony Pence with Downtown Morehead Incorporated and Joy Brown with Morehead Tourism. They gave us an update on a couple of things coming up, the first being the Arts and Eats Festival, which is this weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that festival.
Okay, the Arts and Eats, I'm not sure how long this has been going on, maybe about 8 years
now. Yeah, I think this is the eighth year.
And the dividing line is, I don't even know the name of that street now. It used to be Trumbo Avenue. Is it Batson Oates?
Batson Oates, yes.
Now, it's changed a number of times. And Bridge, it's that on one side of the street, and I think it's Bridge Street on the other side of the street now. But that's the dividing line. To the left of that, running down Main Street, will be all the food vendors. And I think there's going to be 36 food vendors. They will have all different kinds of food, and there will be 10 informational booths. Now, there will be people that will be selling tickets, and the vendors have the option of giving 50% of their proceeds to several charities that Arts and Eats is sponsoring this year. 50% they can keep, or they can give all of it. They can donate all that they make to the charities. So,
I know Morehead State Public Radio, we've got our Spam Fest booth that's going to be
everybody loves it.
Everybody loves spam. I, as a student here, is when I was introduced to the Spam Fest, and I was like, what? But now I've been brought over to the spam side. So hopefully people will stop by and say hello.
We had a booth. I had a booth for Bakery on Main last year, and you all were next to us. And it's good stuff.
No, we have a blast, and it's such a good cause, and there's so many people who come out.
Well, on the other side of the street, if you go right, those are all arts. Now, that is cash. They get to keep their money, because it's work that they have done. It's not something that they bought and are reselling. It's usually work that they have created, and I think there's 60 some this year. Is that what she said? I can't remember.
That's incredible to me, because remember it seems like just a few years ago there were maybe four or five booths of people, and now think that there's so many different vendors. And I know they got arts booths, and then they also have vendor booths, like people who do. I'm sure we will see a LuLaRoe booth, and I'm sure we will see some other like purse booths and things like that.
Yeah, it's fun to look and see what people are creating, mm-hmm. because I mean, some people are quite imaginative. Now, I'm a great copier, but I am not creative. But
yeah,
some
I can follow
are.
Directions, but not so much with coming up on my own stuff.
And don't forget to buy your tickets, because the food vendors work off of tickets, so you will need to buy tickets for that. The other side's cash,
right? And there's some very, very wonderful food out there. I'm excited. Well, getting back to the city council meeting, you guys heard a little bit from Celerity about the Kentucky Wired project. They want to do a piggyback expansion that could benefit the city on when they install the new fiber. There was a lot of information that they shared, but give me kind of a brief overview of what you guys heard.
Well, Celerity is helping us do this. We pay them, but they don't have a dog in the fight. So they're just giving us options what we can do. Now, the state will have 144 dedicated fibers. They are offering us 144 fibers that we can buy. And with that, we can wire the city. We can also, like Morehead Utility Plant Board, we can start extending it to homes in the city and beyond. Then there is another 144 wires that the state will own, but they will lease to whomever wants to lease them. I look at this like another utility. We need better internet service, just like we need water and electric and gas and sewage. We need internet because mm-hmm. it's the wave of the future. It's everything is going connected.
Right.
And so we are looking at buying. We have another meeting to discuss this on Friday at noon, if any of you would like to come. But we're looking at going from 519 to, I think, up around Rodburn. I'm not sure if the city limits up there. We're going from city limit to 519. And
on US 60.
On US 60, yeah. We're the backbone of a project that the state has started. And we will serve Morehead State will house, I'm not sure what the equipment is called, but they will house all of the equipment that will run the fibers that come through. I'm not really sure how this is, but I know Morehead State will have the equipment mm-hmm. to house.
The way I understood it when he was talking is it's kind of like Kentucky Wired is putting in the spinal cord.
Right.
And then the municipalities will have the option of building out the rib cage.
Right. There you go.
And so I know Morehead State's going to have one of the big hubs on campus.
Yeah, that's a good word for it, hub. Ours, let's see, it's running from Winchester to Morehead. That section should be finished within the next month. And then the section from Morehead to Ashland will not be finished until the spring of 2019. And when it's finished from Winchester to Ashland, we will be able to then have access to it and we'll be able to use it. The first thing that the city will do is to connect all of our municipal buildings. And then when that is finished, we will then start offering it to people in neighborhoods, and a certain percentage of them will have to take it before we can, you know, run it that direction. But once they do, their internet rates should be fairly inexpensive. Now, we're not sure if we're going to offer that ability to an internet service provider. The city won't be doing it. We'll hire somebody, you know, mm-hmm. to...
Kind of like Morehead... I mean, I guess you guys will have a couple options. You can lease it out to maybe another internet provider
right.
in order they'll use your fiber. Or you guys could theoretically start your own.
We could, but right now that's not the intention. The intention is to lease it to somebody else because it's going to be very expensive. So, that's what Celerity is doing, is helping us make all of these choices about what we want to do and what we can afford to do. But we do want to have our own lines through here for our citizens.
Right. And because, as you said, it is the future.
It is the future.
So we need to keep ahead of that, really. And we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The Office of Career Services at Morehead State University works to bring employers and employees together. One event that does this is the Fall Career Fair. The Career Fair will be held on Tuesday, October 2nd from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Laughlin Health Building Gym on MSU's campus. This is your opportunity to connect with employers looking to hire full-time and part-time employees and interns, plus gain information on graduate schools. It's open to the community. So if you have any questions, please contact MSU Office of Career Services for more information at 606-783-2233 or online at moreheadstate.edu/career.
Welcome back to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Morehead City Council member Jan Bishop. Thanks for joining us, Jan.
Thank you.
We were talking about the City Council meeting that happened earlier this week, and just going down the agenda here, construction is still ongoing for the splash pad over there by City Park. Can you give us an update on that project?
Well, we were hoping to have the project finished by Labor Day. That's what the push was, but apparently we didn't make it. But we should have construction complete by the end of the month. Keep your fingers crossed on that one. It is progressing. They do have the pad down. They have not installed any of the features yet, but we're waiting for a huge tank to come in to hold water. And I'm not, because of the rain that we've had and the sogginess of the ground, we're not sure when they can get that tank in the ground. But that's right now, it's progressing. The bathroom section is almost complete, and it's going to be there one of these days.
Yeah, I went by there the other day when I was checking the creek level on Sunday because of the flooding, and saw that there had been a lot of progression over there. And they're saying by the end of the month, hopefully we'll be able to get in there and see. And Kentucky weather, I mean, last year I feel like it was 80 degrees in October, so we could probably still have some fun down there if it doesn't get cold too fast.
There's several pieces, I think 10 or 11 different pieces that people can play under, on, over. It's supposed to be very unique and one of the largest ones in Kentucky, if not in at least in eastern Kentucky, if not in all of Kentucky. And so I'm looking forward to seeing it get open. And yeah, you know, if it's warm enough, you know, the kids can play till the end of October, hopefully.
Because
there's
addition.
A lot of good warm days usually on the weekend, I hope.
Me too. As a mom, I really hope that works. There was an update on the feasibility study for the Laughlin Health Building. Just to catch up our listeners, Morehead State University has this building that's utilized for lots of different things, and there is some discussion about working together with some other outside entities outside the university in order to make that a community center. And the city has been one of the leading people or entities that want to be part of that. And you guys have agreed to do a feasibility study. Tell me a little bit about where we are with that study going on.
Well, the group that is doing the feasibility study had trouble getting in here the first time, and they spent about an hour, and I don't think all of them finally made it in, and they were not very positive about this. But then we asked them to come back because there had been delays and look at it again. They were thinking about the Lexington area, and we're not the Lexington area. But there are a lot of people that come in here from the surrounding counties. We're kind of a hub. People come over here to do things. And we're looking at the health building as not just a community center, but also a place where we can have tournaments and on the weekends, because there's a lot of these traveling clubs with kids that will bring a lot of tourism into the area. And that's what tourism is for, is to help bring this. This is a joint thing between the county, the city, and tourism to help sponsor getting more people in here, because they do bring a lot of money in for hotels and food. And these tournaments are usually 2 or 3 day tournaments. So it's not just an in and out afternoon thing. So we think they're going to come back with a more positive feasibility study the next time, because they actually came up here and stayed for several hours. In fact, I think he spent the night here. And he was shown, I'm sure, different areas. You know, just drive through the parking lots and read the license plates, and you see that it's not just local people that are here. It's bringing people in from all over. And so there's also need for areas for senior citizens, because there really is no area that is dedicated, you know, for them to just come in and be able to play cards or visit with each other, or, you know. So it has a lot of possibilities other than just the tournaments.
Right. I know that over the summer I was in one of the area restaurants and looked around and I was like, this is weird. I don't know anybody in this room. And when you live in a small town, you usually know at least one other person. But then I realized, oh, there was a baseball tournament in town. And so it does make a big difference. One of the last things that happened, there were a few things that had to be set aside during the meeting that are probably going to be brought back up at a later time. But Joy Brown and Robin Myris with Tourism were at the meeting to discuss a capital project for the tourism building. I missed that part of the meeting, so tell me what it is that tourism's wanting to do with their building.
Well, actually, it's a capital improvement project as opposed to a capital building project. So what they're wanting to do is they want to remove the carpet. They want to repaint the walls and repair any places that have been damaged and redo the inside doors, which before they put the film on the windows, the sun came through pretty bright on some of the doors, and they need sprucing up, I guess. So this is what they want to do, and it'll take about 3 weeks, and they want to borrow money from the bank, but the city's lawyer feels like they have to bond that it is not, they cannot take out a loan, because it was a 5-year loan, and technically you're not supposed to do anything that takes more than a year. So we're going to have a special call meeting on Friday at noon to discuss this. They're going to go more in depth, more research on whether a loan can be taken out at a bank and paid out over 5 years, because it's a pretty expensive. The tourism has a line item on their budget for projects like this, but and part of that will come from that, but then they need to finance the rest of it, because it's a pretty large amount of money that it will cost to do all this. So and they need to get started with it, because they schedule things. So I don't know if they've already blocked off this 3 weeks or not that they need to close to do all of this. But we are having a meeting Friday to discuss it again. And the council is they think this is an important project to do. So we're not against it at all. It's just how we're going to finance this is the thing right now.
Right. I guess we'll find out a little bit more about that later on after that next meeting. But for now, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic, here on Morehead State Public Radio. Jan Bishop, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for asking me.
And that's it for Open Mic. We'll see you next Friday.